Shloime Zions. He's a writer, filmmaker, and a peace activist. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Lovely to chat to you again, although obviously it'd always be better in a studio. Either way, it's absolutely awesome to speak to you. When were you in South Africa? Zanati and I earlier were trying to figure it out, and we couldn't really remember when that was.
I believe it was the second or third week of January. Right before all the madness started.
This year, nonsense. It must have been at least, Zanati, it was 10
yeah,
years ago, minimum.
It must have been, yeah.
Minimum. It could not have been this, could not have been 2020. There's just no chance. But wow, that just shows you time is completely elastic this year. Mm-hmm. We've got no sense of anything. And at the time you were in studio, we spoke about your amazing travels, as a Hasidic Jew to various parts of the world and the warmth and the love and the friendships that you had established, have established all around the world. One of the places was in the UAE. Take us through that. Remind our listeners who might have missed that interview.
Okay, so in September of 2019, I made it to the UAE for the first time. It was one of the places that I'd always wanted to go for over 10 years since I was a child. I just wanted to go to Dubai. I thought it was the coolest place in the world. I ended up there, and a friend of mine had told me that you can walk around in Dubai openly as a Hasidic Jew, and no one's going to kill you. And I thought, oh, that's so cool. I got to try that. So I show
I mean,
up
what
at
could
the
go
airport.
Wrong? Yeah.
And my payas are hanging out. I got my yarmulke. And I just show up to passport control. They snap me right in. No questions asked. I get out, rent my car. People are waving at me. People are smiling. But nobody's killing me. So I said, you know what? Let me go to my hotel and see if I can make this work. I go to the hotel. Everybody's nice to me. And I said, okay, I'm going to start wandering the streets like this. And all I got were people who wanted to take selfies with me, people who wanted to tell me that I was welcome there, and I was completely blown away. I've returned since then. I was there again in January, the week before I was in your studio.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the UAE again. And all I've gotten was love. It's a wonderful country full of tolerant people. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish, if you're Christian, it doesn't matter who you are. You are welcome to the UAE.
It's incredible. We spoke on Friday, just as this news broke, we spoke to Ross Creel, who is one of the leaders of the Jewish community there, and he echoed the same thing, is that all they see there, in fact, he spoke about it on the radio, that the first time they had a Shabbat Minyan, they didn't have a Torah, but they had Chumashim, and they were all in his lounge, and there's somebody knocked on the door, and they all went scuttling off in different directions to hide, just in case they weren't allowed. It just happened to be the gardener coming to get a glass of water. They soon realized that there's an incredible amount of tolerance and interest and fascination and acceptance with amongst people. And I thought that is really unbelievable.
You've been to the UAE, haven't you?
I've been to the UAE, yes. I mean, I've been to Dubai on occasion, you know, when I would have a, let's say, 12-hour layover and I would go into the city. But I've never spent considerable time there, which is always the better way. You know, just spending a few days is how you can actually get to know the people. So I've always found it, to be tremendous. In your experience, and where else have you traveled to in the Middle East or in what we would have considered dangerous areas for a Hasidic Jew or any Jew?
Well, I've been to Egypt, Jordan, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Bahrain.
Amazing. And
Turkey, Afghanistan.
And what's your experience in those places? Pick one or any of those and tell us about that.
So everyone is different. I think Turkey still has a way to go mm-hmm. for tolerance. Obviously, I'm not going to walk around Afghanistan like a Hasidic Jew. I tried the same thing in Qatar. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't the same as the UAE.
Right.
Saudi Arabia is not culturally ready to make peace with Israel, in my opinion. I think it's going to happen one day, but I don't think they're going to be the next.
Really?
I walked around Bahrain as an openly Hasidic Jew. That was a wonderful experience. They definitely might be next.
Yes, I believe that there is talk that there might be one of the countries, one of the areas to follow. Who do you think will be next?
I don't like to make these kind of predictions. The main thing I think is important that there is going to be another one and hopefully many more. I like to look at the conflict in the Middle East as a metaphor for conflict all over the world. And judging by what happened on Thursday, if the United Arab Emirates and Israel could make peace, which is an Islamic country and a Jewish, and the only Jewish state can make peace. Anybody can make peace anywhere. So this is super inspiring. And I think we all need to internalize that and realize that all conflict is unnecessary and it can be worked out.
There seems to be a trend at the moment to distinguish between the people of the country and the governments of the country. And we've certainly seen that in Iran. We see Israel constantly reaching out to the people of Iran and distinguishing between the two. Is this an observation that you've made on your travels as well?
I can say in the UAE, I don't see much of a difference between the government and the people.
Right.
I think they're both super tolerant, and that's the way it is. In other countries, there definitely are differences between the governments and the people. I don't like to spend too much time on these things because I believe, and people will call me crazy, but I believe that somehow, somewhere, someday, there's an opportunity for Israel and Iran to become friends as well. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I think once people realize that it's better for everybody, and if we truly have the best in mind for the people, then the governments should take that action and make it happen.
I happen to share your view, and maybe it's incredibly naive, but I do believe in the goodness of man and the goodness of people, that people connect because we all essentially want the same thing. What do we all want? We want to live happy, contented lives for ourselves, for our wives, for our families, for our children. We want to live in a world that is filled with positive and not negative. You know, I believe that there are very few people in the world that wouldn't see those things as a priority. And that means that essentially, as long as you can connect on a human level and share a shared human experience, there's nothing stopping us from doing that.
100%. And I want to tell you something. There are certain countries, for example, Saudi Arabia, where I wouldn't feel comfortable yet traveling openly as a Jew, meaning that I'll have to hide my payas and my kippah and wear a hat or something. But there have been many times when I've been in Saudi Arabia and I've had a talk with a taxi driver or somebody on the boardwalk. You know, we're looking at the water at sunset. And you can talk to somebody for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And then you say, you know, by the way, I'm Jewish. And it blows their mind because if they would have known you were Jewish in the beginning, they would never have spoken to you. But once they see that you're human and you just want the same things as them, you have an opportunity to completely change somebody's life and change the way they think about the world. And they can change their family. And it's a domino effect that never ends.
But how do we amplify the voices of the people that actually believe in peace and tolerance? Because it seems like a lot of media, for example, is, you know, tends to be hijacked by, you know, all the negative talk. How do we amplify those voices?
I think social media is great for this. You know, in the past, I'd say 20 or 30 years ago, if you had somebody my age living in Israel, I was told my whole life that the Arabs hate you, the Muslims hate you, they want to kill you. And then you could have somebody my age living in Saudi Arabia or in UAE who's hearing the same thing in the media. The Jews are occupiers and they like to kill Palestinian kids or whatever. And that was the narrative you believed because there was no other option. But now you can log into Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and you see real people your age who all they want in life is to be happy and have a good time and do meaningful things. So that narrative that the media controlled once upon a time is they're losing their monopoly, and you get to see real people speaking their opinions. And I think this is one of the things that has contributed to the fact that so many people are open to peace because they see people on the other side and they see it real. It's unfiltered. It's just, you know, it is what it is. And I think this is a great way to build the connections with people online, social media, make friends, reach out. Be open to people who are different. I think it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Just tell us about your journey. How did you get to become a peace activist?
Well, it sort of happened by accident. It's a long story. I'll try to make it really short. I went to Egypt when I was 18 years old. I was learning in yeshiva in Israel, and a friend of mine and I decided to go to Taba, which is right
just over
at the southern border of Israel with Eilat. Went there for 24 hours. We were terrified. We thought we were doing the most dangerous thing in the world. And we literally called a friend in Israel. We told him, listen, we're going to Egypt for 24 hours. If you don't hear from us in 24 hours, call the army, call the CIA, call everybody. We're in big trouble. We go over the border. We turned off our phones. We didn't even know that it was so close to Israel that our phones would still work. late that night, we walked into a little mall near the beach. And there were these two young shopkeepers. One's name was Sammy, one name was Michael, the Coptic Christians, actually. And they invited us into their shop. We were terrified. We're like, okay, keep an eye on, you know, where the door is. How would we find an exit if we have to run? They invited us in. They just poured us tea and gave us cigarettes, and we sat there for 6 hours. There are so many people who I thought hated me, and now maybe they don't. Fast forward a couple of years, I just love traveling. I started working for Ami Magazine. They started sending me around the world. I went to Saudi Arabia the first time they opened up for tourism. And after I got back, I printed this article in our magazine. It was all about Saudi Arabia. The Jewish community loved it. A couple months later, an Israeli newspaper called the magazine and asked if they can reprint the article. So we worked out a deal. They reprint the article on the front of their Saturday edition.
Amazing.
And the whole Arab world goes nuts. People were upset. An Israeli spy was allowed into Saudi Arabia. There's all sorts of misinformation.